Yo, what's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. This is episode 3. I'm Combo Breaker 99. And it's fight week, man. We got a big fight weekend coming up. We got a lot of fights going down on the Bellator cards. A lot of women's MMA fights. And Saturday, we got the UFC Fight Night card as well. But the major fight I'm looking forward to is in boxing. You know, we got Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury 2. First of all, I got to say shout out to both of these guys for wanting to take this rematch again. Deontay Wilder, this is his second rematch in a row against one of his toughest opponents to date. And Tyson Fury, you know, he wants to prove he's the best boxer against the guy that gave him hell last fight. You know, guy that put him down 2 times, but he was able to get back up. So they both want to right that wrong, which was the draw. And, you know, I'm down for this fight. You know, like I said, it's the best fight we had so far. We're only 2 months into the year, but it's the best fight we got going down. And what I want to do with this one is on this show, because on my last show on the Jab podcast on the JabEffect.com with my partner Boxing P, you know, we kind of went in about this fight already, did our predictions, but we talked about different stuff. You know, we talked about, you know, the mentality of these fighters, who's got the biggest heart, and just a lot of other stuff, you know. Less technical, more so just like what's going on in the game with both of these fighters as far as what they're bringing to the table. So I suggest you check that episode out. But over here, I want to go down a list of advantages for each fighter, you know, do more of my boxing math. And then after that, give you my prediction over here. So more of a technical look on this episode here. But first off, I just want to go down the list of Bellator fights we got going down this weekend, you know, on the Friday card, the Saturday card. And do some quick picks on those. And then also some quick picks on the UFC Fight Night 168 card in Oakland. Because we got Shanna Dobson, Priscilla Cotiera, Angela Hill versus Loma Labutny, and Carolina Kowalkiewicz versus Yan Zhaonan. So just do my quick predictions on those. And then maybe talk a little bit about these two big fights coming up. Claudia Gadelha versus Marina Rodriguez on May 2nd. And this too, man, it's just hot off the press before I even started recording, man. Valentina Shevchenko versus Joanna Calderwood. UFC 251, man. That's big. Shout out to the coach. That's his girl and my girl in that fight. So, but I'm going to be real, man. This is going to be tough for JoJo. I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying it right now, man. But you know who I'm going for. But yeah, man, let's go ahead and kick this thing off, man. First off, man, on Friday, we got Bellator 239. And not many women's fights on this card, but the one I'm looking forward to is Denise Kielholz versus Christina Williams. This fight's on the prelims card, and I think it's going to be an explosive fight. You know, I think it's going to be real good. You know, Denise, she's very powerful, great counters. Her technique in Muay Thai or kickboxing is on point. Her stand-up is, I think it's a lot more polished than Christina Williams. And just going back and looking at her last fight out against that Sabrie, who she stopped in the first round, I felt like she was able to showcase good stand-up and submission skills and finishing skills all in like less than 30 seconds. You know, she was able to drop her with that counter right, jump right on her and finished her, you know. So the girl's got power in both hands. You know, she's definitely got skills in that department. And as for Christina Williams, you know, everybody remembers her from that vicious stoppage when she got over to Heather Hardy, how she broke her nose like with that shin kick, boy, that vicious leg kick she hit Heather Hardy right in the nose with. And that was, what, back in like 2017. So it's definitely going to be like a very explosive, you know, stand up fight if it stays standing. And I can see a lot of blood in this one and some knockdowns. But I'm going to have to go with Denise Kielholz in this one. I feel like she's a little bit more polished. Christina Williams, she has some solid wins, you know, against Bruna Ellen and Emily Ducote. I feel like those are solid wins, but when she stepped it up against tougher competition like, you know, Valerie Letourneau and Juliana Velasquez, you know, she came up short. You know, I still think she's a level below those fighters, but I think that Denise Kielholz is, you know, is really stepping her game up here. And if she keeps it standing, I think she'll be the smarter fighter, land better counters. And if she's able to hurt Christina, I think she can get her out of there. If she gets her to the ground, she can submit her as well. So I'm going to pick Denise Kielholz by like second or third round stoppage in that one. But it's definitely going to be a good fight. So let me see what else we got. Saturday. On Saturday, the Bellator card, the European seven series, we got two women's fights. So on the prelims, we got Danny Nealon versus Chiara Penko. This is actually going to be the first fight of the night. This is going to be the first fight of the night on that prelims card. And this is Danny Nealon, her second fight in the game. You know, she's 1-0 right now. And I saw her fight last year, her first fight. You know, she's a pretty aggressive, tough fighter. You know, she's real good at pressure. She has some solid boxing and some decent groundwork. But Chiara Penko, you know, I feel like she's a more experienced fighter. Of course, this is her Bellator debut, but she's already got like four wins. You know, she's been in the game a little bit longer. And I think she's a solid boxer. You know, from what I've seen from her, she's definitely got a good jab and some really decent lateral movement. So I can see this fight, if it was to be a standing fight, I think that Chiara Penko, she could probably take Danny Nealon apart just off her jab and her lateral movement. And if it was to go to the ground, though, I'm kind of 50-50 on that, because Danny Nealon, I saw some of her amateur fights. You know, she's pretty tough when she gets to the ground. You know, she's strong, too. You know, she can make it rough and ugly. But I think it's really hard to say. Like, I would have to say it's 50-50 when you look at it, really, really look at the matchup. But if I had to pick, I think I'd have to go with a more experienced fighter in Chiara Penko. You know, not by much, because anything can happen in these fights sometimes. So I'm going to have to go with Chiara Penko, though, just to be on the safe side. The main event on this card is Leah McCourt versus Judith Ruiz. This is a featherweight matchup. I've seen a couple fights of Leah McCourt, and I think she's a tough fighter, and, you know, she's still growing, and I can see her mixing it up a lot. You know, she's kind of working on her striking and on her ground game. Judith Ruiz, she's tough as hell. You know, she's rough. She's good on the ground. Four of six of her wins were by submission. So I can see McCourt want to try to mix it up in this fight, but keep it standing, in my opinion. I think if she uses her jab and her front kicks to get the respect to Judith early, she could probably, you know, beat her on the cards. Because Judith Ruiz, she's good when she can get in on, when she can get in on you and get you down to the ground, but I think that she still has that weakness with her striking. I think she can still be like outstruck. You know, she can definitely be outworked. And I think that's what Leah McCourt's going to have to do in this one. Like, if she gets her in the clinch, she's going to have to work in the clinch, break, and just keep the fight at a distance. If you keep her at a distance with your jab and in your front leg kicks, then I don't really see Judith Ruiz getting past Leah McCourt in this one. But on paper, it looks like McCourt's the favorite. But like, going into this one, there's that experience factor with Judith Ruiz, you know, like, You just don't know how to play out sometime. Like, I want to lean towards the fresher fighter and Leah McCourt. You know, I think she can pull it off by decision. But if it goes to the ground, I'm gonna have to favor Judith Ruiz. But if I had to make a pick, I'm gonna go with the fresher fighter and Leah McCourt by decision. Next up, we got Bellator 240. We got the return of Beck Rollins versus Alina Caliendo. In my opinion, man, this probably would have been a better Bellator debut fight for Beck Rollins than that Alara Johan fight was, because I feel like Beck Rollins and Alina Caliendo, they're kind of on the same playing field right now. You know, they both really need a win to stay in the game, to me, you know, to really stay, you know, to stay focused and to even stay in Bellator. You know, I feel like they both are on that same level where they could go in this same mentality, and they're still on that same skill level to me. Whereas Alara Johan, that was kind of a dangerous fight for Beck Rollins. I mean, you know, it showed, it was proof. But this one's probably going to be more of an evenly matched fight. You know, I think Beck Rollins, I think she has the advantage in this fight as far as like stand up. You know, Alina Caliendo, I can see her trying to stand and trade with Beck Rollins, but I think Beck has more power in that right hand. And I can see this playing out to be more of like a really brutal boxing match or striking match in this one, because Alina Caliendo in her last fight out against Bruna Ellen, you know, she chose to stand in a lot of those exchanges, and she was getting tagged with some big right hands and even some good body kicks too. So this might be Beck Rollins' first win since 2016. You know, I could see her, you know, breaking that losing streak and getting back on it. Because I think, you know, if Bellator wants to keep her around, she's definitely got to make a statement and look good in this fight. And I think this is that opponent to, you know, this is that type of opponent to be in there against, man. But, yeah, it's definitely going to be a good night of Bellator fight. So I'm going to be going back and forth between you know, Bellator and UFC Fight Night 168. You know, they're pretty much going to clash, I think. So yeah, I'll be going back and forth on them. But looking at the UFC Fight Night 168 card in Oakland, first off, on the women's fights, we got Shanna Dobson versus Priscilla Cosiera. Real quick, man, on this one, I'm going to have to go with... it's a 50-50 fight, really, man. I'm going to have to go with Shanna Dobson, though. If she shows up, if she comes in there, stays focused, and, you know, she sets up her power shot, I think that she can control this fight with her power, because she's a fighter with power in both hands. But, you know, if she starts to deal with a fighter that can, like, outstrike her, you know, a volume puncher, or somebody that can, you know, just keep her on the outside, or even a fighter that can smother her, you know, she can be in trouble. So Priscilla Cosiera, her game plan should be to try to smother her, you know, get in the clinch and take her to the ground. Because Shanna Dobson, she's most dangerous whenever she's standing. You know, she's got that knockout power. But I think going into this fight, if Shanna Dobson can stay focused, I can see her pulling this one out. So I'm going to go with Shanna Dobson, you know, with probably a third round decision over Cosiera. Next up, got Angela Hill versus Loma Labukni. Now, Angela Hill, she's riding high right now. You know, she's riding high, like, on a, you know, after that stoppage win over Hannah Cyphers. But, you know, coming in there, getting to see somebody like Loma Labukni, you know, that's a dangerous fight. You know, Loma Labukni, she's very, very fast. She's very tricky. She's accurate. You know, she's strong. And I think this fight here, man, it's going to be a very tough fight for Angela Hill. But I think her experience is going to come into play. So if I had to pick a winner in this, I think Angela Hill can beat her, but it's going to be very tough. It's going to be a very tough win. It's not going to be like the Hannah Cyphers fight. You know, Loma Labukni is definitely a lot bigger and stronger than Hannah Cyphers. You know, not like huge, but, you know, she definitely has more strength to her and more level. So if Angela Hill just uses her skill from the outside and mix it up, you know, go in the pocket, you know, use that good jab she has and use that overhand right, you know, stays moving around, uses her lateral movement, I can see Angela Hill pulling this one out by split decision in this one. And on to the next one on the main card. We got Karolina Kowalkiewicz versus Yan Xiaonan. For this one, I'm going to have to... I'm a Karolina fan, but I'm going to have to go with Yan Xiaonan in this fight, man. Because last few times out, like, Karolina Kowalkiewicz, you know, I feel like she kind of lost a step, you know. Physically and mentally, you know, she's been in some wars, you know, Jessica Andrade, Alexa Grasso, Claudia Gadelha. A lot of these fights are really like wheel breaking fights for her, you know, and with each one of them, she didn't really look that good. You know, I'm just being honest, like, each one out, she was looking worse. Like, she really wasn't using her IQ in the Alexa Grasso fight. She took more shots than I thought she should have taken. And the thing is, you know, she has good power. You know, she has good pop in her shots and some decent striking, but her defense isn't that good. And if you don't come correct with your defense against Yan Xiaonan, you know, you're going to get pieced up. You know, Xiaonan has some good hands. You know, she has some good in and out game, good in and out striking, quick hands. And I think if they choose to, like, slug it out, I think that Xiaonan can come out on top, especially if she starts to mix in her right hand. So yeah, for this one, man, I'm going to have to go with Yan Xiaonan to win this fight. Probably by, like, if not a third round stoppage, probably third round decision. Probably like 30-27. But, yeah, man, those are the three women's fights we got on UFC Fight Night 168. Those will be some good matchups. Overall, like, if you look at the card, those are some very competitive fights. They're not really, like, one-sided. All of them are pretty 50-50, you know, except for the Karolina Yan fight. I think that I got to lean towards Yan more so in that fight. That fight might be like 70-30, to be honest. But the other two, to me, can be 50-50, you know, on the real. Yeah, those are probably like 50-50 fights. But, yeah, man, good fights coming up in women's MMA, in Bellator and UFC. But UFC news, man, Claudia Gadelha versus Marina Rodriguez. Like I said, I did a little video of this last night. Or not last night, it was early this morning. And gave you my thoughts on the fight. You know, it's going down May 2nd. I really think this is going to be a good fight. It's like one of those 50-50 matchups that you have of a fighter like Claudia Gadelha. You know, she wants to reclaim that glory of being a top three strawweight. And then you got Marina Rodriguez, who wants to break into being like a top five. You know, she's 12-0 right now. You know, she's definitely like riding high. And whenever a fighter's riding that high, sometimes that high is enough to take them to that next level. You know, of course they need the skill, but which she has, Marina Rodriguez also has that heart, you know, to you know, just make her say, hey, I'm not taking no for an answer. You know, I don't care who it is. And fighting somebody like Claudia Gadelha, that's what she needs. You know, she needs that experience on her list, on her resume. And I think it's just going to be an all-around explosive fight. Claudia Gadelha, she's going to really have to use her IQ in this fight. You know, use what works for her. Use her strengths, you know. And I said that before, because I always feel like Claudia, she can kind of slip. You know, sometimes Claudia doesn't commit. You know, Claudia can, I don't know, man, like, sometimes she just doesn't commit to what she knows she can do. Like in that Jessica Andrade fight, like she fought the wrong fight. You know, she didn't just use her striking. Like I said, Claudia's striking is not great, but it's better than Jessica Andrade. So why not just keep it striking instead of trying to go strength for strength with somebody, you know? And then the Carla Esparza fight, that was another fight where I felt like, you know, she got the W, but she didn't win, you know? And then Nina Ansaroff, you know, when she stepped it up against another skilled stand-up fighter, you know, she lost that fight. So just a lot of odds against Claudia going in this fight. But maybe the time off since her injury, she was able to kind of refine a new hunger in her. And hopefully, you know, in this training, she's been working on new things. Like hopefully she's been tightening up on her boxing and her striking and the cardio, man. The cardio is serious, yo. She really has to work on that cardio. It wasn't so much of a problem in the Randa Marcos fight, because it was more of a economical pace they were fighting at. You know, she wasn't like being overexerted like she has been in the past against Joanna, Carla, you know, some of those fights where she has to really work, again, Jessica Andrade. But her last fight out, her cardio looked decent. But I think if she's fighting somebody like Marina Rodriguez, who's going to be jabbing and, you know, hitting her with kicks and trying to keep her back, she's going to really have to work to get on the inside. And I think somebody like Marina Rodriguez is really going to make her work to try to get in there. You know, she's really going to be squirming. She's really going to be, you know, sprawling, taking out, you know, using her takedown defense. She's going to be hitting her with shots to the body. So it's all around, man, just going to be a good explosive 50-50 fight, man. It's like a stand-up versus wrestler, you know. And I think the winner from here, you know, they get to probably fight maybe one more time. And maybe a title eliminator, you know, depending on how it goes. I could definitely see, like, the winner of this fight maybe fighting Tatiana Suarez or something like that. Like, depending on, like, what Tatiana Suarez wants to do. Like, when she comes back, you know, injury-free, I don't know if she wants to take a soft touch, but she could possibly fight the winner of this fight. You know, that would be dope. You know, I think that would be a good fight. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. It's on the UFC card in Oklahoma City on May 2nd. So, yeah. Definitely want to see that fight, man. Going to be another good strawweight matchup. But moving on, just hot off the press, like I said, man. We got this fight, man. I can't believe we got this fight made. What's the date on it again, man? Valentina Shevchenko versus Joanne Calderwood, man, for the flyweight title. I was actually talking about this last week, you know, when I did the video of Lauren Murphy. I actually was like, you know, why Lauren Murphy and Joanne Calderwood fight, just to kind of get in another stay busy fight and also like, you know, the build up fight. But hey, man, like Valentina Shevchenko, she actually called it. You know, she was like, my next opponent will probably be Joanne Calderwood, you know, depending on what it looks like as far as turnaround time. And that's what's going down, man. June 6th, you know, it's going down June 6th, UFC 251. And now that it's happening, I mean, all I could do is root for my girl JoJo, you know. And the more and more we get closer to this fight, I'm going to try my best to find out what she can do to win this fight, you know, because I said it on my last video, you know, my last show, like Valentina Shevchenko, she just stands so many rungs on this flyweight ladder above all the other ladies. Like, flyweight division is competitive amongst, you know, the JoJo's, the Roxanne's, the Macy's, the Alexis Davis, Andrea Lee's. Like, it's so competitive. Like, you can't, you know, you can't pick, like, one better than the other in that mix-up. You know, Caitlin Chikuh again, Jessica Eye, all those ladies, they could fight so many times and not one lady would ever come out on top. You know, the same lady won't always come out on top. But like, when you throw Valentina in that mix, it's just like, yo, Valentina's taking everybody out. That's what it's been seen. That's what it's always came down to. But, you know, going into this fight now that Joanne is taking it, you know, it's like, you know, you got to go for broke. You know, she's already posted on Instagram as far as like, she knows what tough tasks she has ahead of her. You know, she was like, you know, posting little hints about, you know, certain things you got to do against her. You know, like she said, it's easier said than done. So Carter was definitely gonna have to do homework. You know, this is definitely gonna be the toughest fight of her career. You know, first title shot, you know, and I feel like she's really got so many things to work on. But thankfully, you know, she has a good team. You know, she has Roxanne Modafar. You know, she trains with her. You know, she's been with Syndicate for a while. So she definitely has a lot to work with. She has improved on her ground game. And you just never know, man. Styles do make fights. So I hope that she can make it a very interesting fight. You know, Valentina is somebody you don't really want to go skill for skill with. So I could see Joanne trying to make this a dirty, ugly clinch fest of a Muay Thai fight, you know, because that's where her blood is. You know, she's a tough fighter, good chin. She can take a punch, sometimes she can take too many, you know. So I definitely want to see Joanne, you know, do something different in this fight. You know, I'm just rooting for her. But as far as my technical pick, when I break this thing down, it's not going to be the same. I know that, man. Again, Coach Sheldon Harrison, man, it's damn, man, my girl versus yours right now. But as we get closer to this fight, you know, I'm going to do more breakdowns on it, you know, just talk about the possibilities of what Joanne has to do, you know, watch more Valentina fights just to see what weaknesses she has that somebody like Joanne can expose, you know, because right now on paper, like I said, when you see the matchup, it's like, oh, man, Valentina's got this, you know. I just got to be honest, Valentina's got this. So, but yeah, man, it's going down, man. It's going to be crazy, man. I think it's going to be a good fight. You know, Joanne's never really been in a bad fight, you know, as far as like making it exciting for the crowd. But sometimes that can be her mistake. You know, I feel like sometimes she has to be more technical with hers, you know. Definitely got to be more technical if you want to win. If you want to win, you know, if you want the championship, you got to be that way sometime. But yeah, looking forward to it. Like I said, as we get closer, I'll be doing more videos on this channel about the fight. But yeah, man. Moving on, here we go, man. Want to talk about this Deontay Wilder Tyson Fury fight. Talking about this rematch. It's going down, man. Well, I'm not really even going to talk about it. I'm just going to go straight into it with my stories. You know, do my boxing math. You know, boxing math don't always add up. But I just want to give you my opinions on who I think has the advantages in these different departments. And if you're not familiar with how I do this, you know, I've done some videos in the past, like with Sean Porter, Errol Spence, Julian Williams versus Jared Hurd. But I got these different categories here just like that I like to go down and give the advantage to each fighter and then kind of add it up. So first off, as far as my categories, you know, I got jab, I got the strength, speed, power, defense, and then I got the mental and the heart. That's kind of like, I know the two different things, but I just kind of put that as one because I feel like, you know, they do go hand in hand, you know, depending on the fighter, but a lot of the times they kind of go hand in hand as far as how they make a fighter work. You know, you can agree or disagree with me on that. But first up, the jab, that category, Tyson Fury, I'm gonna have to give him the jab category, definitely, because first time out, I feel like Tyson Fury, you know, he was able to depend on the jab. The jab was his best friend in that fight. You know, he was able to measure Deontay Wilder with it to land his right hand. He was able to also use it as offense. You know, he was hitting Deontay Wilder with 2 and 3, you know, slapping jabs at times, and he'd come back with the right hand. And it was enough to keep Wilder back for a majority of the rounds that he was able to win. You know, it is also able to swell Deontay Wilder's eye. You know, he was able to, you know, mess with his vision in that fight. So, definitely, got to give Tyson Fury the jab category in this one because, again, you know, he has one of the best jabs in the heavyweight division right now. He depends on it, and he's going to need it in this rematch. Going to speed, I'm going to have to give that to Tyson Fury as well, but not by much. I might have to say it's going to be 50-50 because I think that Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder have two different kinds of speed and quickness. But for Tyson Fury, I think that hand speed and foot speed are more his game. Especially in the last fight, you know, his feet and how he moves, his elusiveness, they're very important to him. How quick he moves his shoulders. You know, he's proven to be a very fast fighter. And as big as he is, he was a hard target for Deontay Wilder to hit clean a lot of the times, you know, just because of the way he was like able to shift and move and then move those quick hands. You know, he has very quick hands for a long, tall fighter. So I will give the speed edge to Tyson Fury. Strength, I'm going to give that to Deontay Wilder. That's kind of like a mixture of, you know, I like to mix the stamina and physical strength together, as well as, you know, just punch resistant and, you know, also punch strength, not necessarily power, but just how you throw your punches and the type of respect you can get from your punches. Deontay Wilder, I give him that category because I feel like for a guy his size, he's able to move guys around, just not with his power, but, you know, he's able to control them, you know. And when he goes into the later rounds, his power is the same, which means that, you know, he's a strong fighter, very athletic. You know, he stays, he keeps his strength up. He works on staying in shape. Doesn't do any running in camp, but, you know, he does other exercises, other workouts to make sure, you know, he stays a physically strong fighter. Like, he doesn't really have to push guys around too much, but he can give them a little shove here and there and keep guys back with a good steady jab when he uses it. And again, you know, the strength of his punches, you know, it stays the same, you know, it stays the same, stays consistent all the way down to the 12th round, which was proof in the Tyson Fury fight, even in his Luis Ortiz fight, both of his Luis Ortiz fights. He can stay in the, you know, he can stay behind on the cards, but he can always just come back with that same amount of punch and power, which shows you how strong he is, which brings me to power. Power, you know, hands down, is going to Deontay Wilder. It's like the great equalizer, you know. Again, he can be down, but all he needs is that one right hand or left hook. So, you know, it's one of the most devastating forms of power I've ever seen in the game, you know, since Julian Jackson. You know, he's a 154 pounder, but the way they bring it to the table, it's just like you've never seen that type of power before. It's scary, you know. Julian Jackson, the way he's able to hit guys with one right hand and they just go down. I remember how he described it. It was like when he connected to one guy's chin, he just felt like the shot go through his wrist. I wonder if that's, I never heard Deontay Wilder say it the same way, but you could tell that's how it is. Like as soon as his right hand touches these chins, it's just like shocks them, you know, they're gone. You know, it's like they're in comatose, you know, and that's the type of power he possesses. Haven't seen that type of power since Mike Tyson, of course, but again, it's almost a little bit scary because you never know when it's coming, and he never loses. Again, he never loses the impact of it. So power, definitely Deontay Wilder, hands down. Let's see. Defense. You might call me crazy on this one and disagree, but defense, I'm going to say, is a draw. I'm going to say that for two reasons. Well, first off, I go with Tyson Fury's defense, why his is superior in his own ways. The elusiveness, you know, he's able to move like no other big man has ever been able to move in the heavyweight division the last, 10, 15 years. You know, he's very elusive, does a little James Toney and Floyd Mayweather tricks for his size. You know, still not as clean, but because he's so big, but he's able to, you know, slip and move, duck and dodge like 5 or 6 punches at a time. He's able to throw his hands up and his arms up to block a lot of shots and slips and counters. You know, he's able to come back with his own offense and keep guys off of him, you know, and good footwork. You know, if he's standing still, he can, you know, duck punches. But if he's moving side to side and using his lateral movement, he can judge distance well and take a step back and make you miss by a mile, you know, or make you miss by an inch, which can be frustrating. You know, like a few times when Deontay Wilder would miss that right hook just by much, you know, that takes a lot out of a guy, you know, mentally. You know, when you miss him by just like that little, just by that little inch, you know, makes you like, oh shit, like he keeps making me miss. Like, how am I going to hit this guy? He's here, but I can't hit him, you know? So all around defense, as far as like slipperiness and, you know, just using the shoulder and slipping encounter, I give that to Tyson Fury. But I got to give great defense to Deontay Wilder, because what is it a lot of people always say? A great defense, great offense can be a great defense, you know? And Wilder, his form of defense is by being on attack first, you know, ending fights, knocking guys out. That sounds crazy, but it makes sense, because he's coming out of most of his fights clean, you know. So the best way to defend yours is by taking that guy out, right? It makes sense to me. It's like, yo, I don't want to go through 12 rounds of trouble for the most part, so I'm gonna go ahead and take this guy out. You know, that's how I defend my crown. That's how I defend mine, you know, is by just taking you out. And, you know, like I say, great offense is a great defense, you know, vice versa, whatever you want to call it. So for me, I got to say both of these guys have their good forms of defense. And it showed that it was a draw in the last fight, right? So, yeah, definitely got to give them both defense for these different reasons. Moving on to mental and heart, you know, for mental game, I'm just talking about guys who want to stay consistent as champion, mental as far as being able to stay on the path, as even when you have all these doubters, you know, as many doubters as you can have, you just stay on that same path. Every fight you treat the same. There's never really an up and down moment with you. Just stay on it. You want it. Your focus never's broken. It's never broken. Heart. You know, when you look at heart, you're talking about a guy who's willing to fight everybody. You're really willing to take on that challenge, even if you got to do it more than once. And for that, I got to give both of those categories to Deontay Wilder. Because, again, Deontay Wilder, you know, he faces so much adversity. Like, even out of the ring, like, there's so many people that hate the guy for no reason. Like, I never knew, like, all these casual fans to really care about boxing skill. And now they're, like, talking about his skill. They're putting it down. And he's giving them what they want. You know, he's giving people knockouts. That's what they want. Like, I appreciate that. You know, you can go in and end the fight quick. I appreciate it. You know, but there's a lot of people out there that just, like, hate the guy for no reason. You know, and I feel like for him to just stay on that path, the same path, and keep the same energy in every fight, that's impressive. You know, you're not listening to anybody, even like other boxers, you know, like guys like Mike Tyson or Floyd Mayweather. They have their choice words about Deontay Wilder, and, you know, they're not riding with him. It probably makes him feel a certain way, but, you know, it takes a lot of mental strength to block all that out. Just keep everything else black, everything around you just dark, and you just stay on that straight path, you know. And he's been able to do that. He's been able to do that for 42 fights now. He's done it for 10 fights as champion, you know. So for him to keep that same energy and not, like, let it affect his performance, you know, you got to give that guy a lot of credit. And again, he has heart, because he wants to take on the best. You know, he wants Joshua. Joshua don't want it. He's already got 4 fights between Ortiz and, well, he's going to have four fights, you know, come Saturday night, you know, between Ortiz and Tyson Fury, you know. So it's just like, wow, he's fought these guys 4 times, can't even get Joshua once, you know. So he's just shown so much more heart and mental strength in his fights. But, you know, like Tyson Fury, I'm not going to knock him on, like, his mental illness. But when you come into the boxing game, yeah, we are going to kind of gauge that. Because let's say if you win the championship again, like you did against Klitschko, are you going to be able to stay consistent? You know, are you going to be able to fight the best fighters? Are you going to keep that same energy every time you get in the ring, or are you going to disappear again? So, you know, I couldn't give him that category. I got to give him heart for taking this fight, but he kind of stalled out. He didn't want to take the fight right away. You know, it still comes down to, you know, enticing the guy with money right now. You know, it still comes down to that, because he still had to make a big fight deal with Top Rank on the real. You know, he had to take that deal with Bob Arum before he set up a big fight, which I ain't mad at, you know. But I mean, like, if he was just thinking straight off of heart, he would have jumped in there with Deontay Wilder again, same way Deontay Wilder was ready to do. But that's why I got to give the heart and mental to Deontay Wilder. But as far as my prediction, man, for my prediction, dude, overall it's a 50-50 fight, but I predict that Wilder's going to win this fight by maybe like a 9th or 10th round KO. I think it's going to come sometime in the 9th or 10th round. I think it's going to be a lot of back and forth action as far as what they can get done, as far as their styles. I think that Fury's going to outbox him for the majority of maybe like 3-4 rounds. And then Wilder's going to catch up to him. You know, Wilder's going to catch up to him in like the mid rounds with some good hard shots. And I'm going to say that Fury, he's going to survive. But if that cut gets opened up somewhere like round 4 or 5, the texture's going to change. If it opens in round 1, then I think he's going to be done by round 2. You know, that blood's going to be in his face, and it's either going to change the mentality to where Wilder can just, you know, smell blood and jump on him and finish him. Or, you know, if he can ride it out, it'll go down to the later rounds where finally that same strength that he possesses in the first round is going to carry over to round 10. And he'll probably knock Fury out in like round 10. But yeah, man, I think it's just going to be overall a good fight. You know, I think it's going to be a good solid matchup between these two, just like the first one was. The first one, I ain't going to lie, it was a draw. It was like, I had it 7-5. You know, I felt Fury won those 7 rounds, but the rounds I gave to Wilder when he bounced it out with the 2 knockdowns, it made it a draw, you know, which was fair to me. I think it was fair. Because it wasn't like a masterclass performance by Tyson Fury. It was good boxing in the rounds he won, but there was still some rounds that he let slip away, you know, even by an inch. But overall, it wasn't like masterclass. It was a well-fought, even fight between both guys. And it was a career-defining fight. You know, this was going to be career-defining as well. But, really, that's all we can say now, yo. You know, like I said, and told my man Boxing P, I was like, yo, he felt the same way. We was just like, yo, there's not really much more to say on this. We just ready to see the fight. You know, no more he say, she say. I'm not even going to bring up, I'm not bringing it up, you know, the Tyson Fury injuries and all of that. And, you know, the switching of the trainers. It's all coming down to the two men that get in the ring from here, man. You know, and that's real. But yeah, man, that's all I got on this episode, y'all. Talked y'all's head off. You know, I was trying to get this episode in real quick and put it out. But let me know in the comment section what y'all think about these fights coming up. You know, let me know. Pick some winners for these Bellator cards. Let me know if y'all watch them. You know, hit me up in the comment section if there's anything you want me to talk about, you know, on the next episode of CB99 Talks. But definitely subscribe here. Subscribe here on Combo Breaker 99, my YouTube channel. And subscribe to my, or follow me on Instagram at Combo Breaker 99 and All Box and Everything. And you can follow me and my man Boxing P on the Jab Effect on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can subscribe to our show, the Jab Podcast. That's on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and SoundCloud. But I'll post all that information in the description. Yeah, man, once again, this is Combo Breaker 99. And I'll see y'all after fight weekend. Peace.